In the name of Christ Jesus, our priceless treasure, dear fellow redeemed. One of Aesop's famous fables is the story of the ant and the grasshopper. Heard this one? There's a grasshopper enjoying the midsummer's sunshine, fair weather, and plentiful food, singing and dancing, sees the ant going by, carrying food to her home, and he says, "Stop and play a while. We can sing and dance and have a good time." The ant says, "Listen, winter is coming. We have to get ready for it. I'm going to be prepared. I suggest you do so too." The grasshopper says, "Winter's a long ways away. Enjoy life for once." And so it went on until, of course, winter did arrive, and the grasshopper became quite hungry and went knocking at the ant's door and said, "Please, Miss Ant, please, I'm very hungry. Can you spare me just a few kernels of wheat or corn? Otherwise, I'll starve." And in the original version of Aesop's fables, the grim one, the ant said, "You danced and sang your way through the summer. You can sing and dance through the winter too." The moral of the story is, work hard and save while the sun shines so you'll have security when times are lean. Unless, of course, you are a subprime mortgage lender. Familiar with the financial crisis that our Congress and President are facing? They're about to spend perhaps $700 billion of future dollars of yours and the rest of this nation in order to shore up people who danced and sang while the sun shined, seeking short-term profits by lending money to people who had no means to pay them back. Should we be concerned about this crisis? Well, to a certain extent, we're always concerned for the welfare of our country. I'm more concerned for you students than I am for Professor Pfeiffer or Pastor Fossum or even myself. We may have some things stored up, but it may be harder on you because it's all borrowed against the future. But I didn't come today to speak to you about finances or the politics of finances, rather about storing up in a different sense, rather about having our focus on heavenly treasures instead of earthly treasures. You heard about all the panic people are going through because of the financial crisis? It reflects a low horizon view of what's really valuable. Finally, the Lord will not forsake his saints. David wrote in Psalm 37, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." The Lord knows how to take care of us in our earthly needs. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, encourages us to take our focus entirely off of these earthly needs and concerns, and instead recognize where our true treasure lies. He said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Moth and rust destroy all the things of this world. I remember going through a museum as a child, thinking to myself, hey, back in pioneer days, did they always use stuff that's rusty and frayed and worn out? Because that's what it looks like in the museum. And it took a little experience, a few years, to recognize many things that were bright and shiny and new when I was a younger man now are in the junkyard or at Goodwill. Moth and rust destroy clothes and homes and cars. You want proof that all these things fail, even this body? In the cemetery, you'll find headstones over people, some of whom were wealthy and others of whom were poor, but they're all the same now. Some enjoyed better health and success than others, but they're all the same now as far as these earthly things go. Every one of us here, young and old, will shed all these earthly things, including investments, 401k, and the like. How do people measure status and success in our world? Fancy clothes? The cut of one's Italian suit? Or high fashion? An expensive home on the right side of town? Or maybe a cool ride? The wheels that spell status. Well, we look for higher things. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hey, fancy clothes. Standing before the Lord, on Judgment Day, you'll be dressed in the bright, shining robe of Jesus' righteousness, which grants you eternal life because he died to take your sins completely away. When that time comes, fancy homes of this world will all have been burned up, but you've got a reservation in heaven, the mansion that Jesus is now preparing. And you want to talk about a cool ride? The Bible says that when the trumpet sounds, the believers will be raised and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's a ride, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Meantime, we have to deal with the earthly things, and the Lord encourages us to do that responsibly. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "You also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." Work hard. Don't be dependent on others, so that you can lack nothing and share with those in need. Strive to be the best and reach for success, but keep your eyes on the prize, as the Apostle Paul did. He said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." What about you as students here at Emmanuel? Let me ask you, how many still know how to do home canning? Do you have moms, perhaps, who still know how to get out the ball jar, the mason jar with the lids and rings, put up the vegetables? My mom did. My wife knows how. I think it's getting to be more and more of a lost art. But I do remember looking in the pantry downstairs and seeing row upon row of green beans and tomatoes and corn and other produce, and it gives you kind of a cozy feeling. You have laid up a store. You will be prepared in the event that times are lean. That's exactly what all of you are doing here, but with something so much more precious. You've got these years with these instructors who are faithful to God's Word, and you're laying up God's Word. The precious promises that save you and give you hope, row upon row in your hearts, so that they'll be there when you need them, and so that you can teach. You can teach. I'm talking to all of you, not just those who are considering the public ministry. Whether it's Vacation Bible School or Sunday School or your own children, you'll be pulling down these home-stocked goods that you're storing up right now in order to pass on the precious treasures you've been given. Please do take advantage of these summer months. Be the ant, not the grasshopper, in the practical things of this world, but most especially with the greatest treasure of God's Word. Lay up these treasures by learning God's Word, enjoying the Christian fellowship you share. And where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Amen. We'll sing now hymn number 347, verses 1, 4, and 6. 1, 4, and 6 of 347.